6. Prince Narmon's Sitting Room, Imperial Palace, Chiraeth, Kingdom of Chisholm.
Good morning, Your Highness.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Morning, I mean.
Narmon Bates looked out the palace window at a winter-gray Chisholmian day and shuddered. It wasn't actually all that early, Merlin reflected. But then again, Chiraeth was 4 time zones farther east than Erastor. Of course, Narmon had enjoyed quite a lengthy voyage, so there'd been plenty of time for his internal clock to reset. Which led Merlin to the sad conclusion that Prince Narmon simply wasn't what deplorably perky people back on old Earth had persisted in calling a morning person.
Fair enough, Merlin thought, suppressing a temptation to smile. After all, I was never a morning person if I could avoid it either.
And what may I do for you at this ungodly frigid hour?
Narmon inquired, stepping closer to the fire crackling on the guest sitting chamber's hearth. He held out his hands to the flames, although, to be perfectly fair, it wasn't especially freezing in the sitting chamber, or not by Chisholmian standards at any rate.
Actually, I need to discuss a few things with you, Your Highness, Merlin said,
and Narmon's eyes narrowed, his expression turning rather more serious as he looked at the Sajan.
In my role as Their Majesty's Imperial Counselor for Intelligence, he asked, or in my role as new initiate into the Inner Circle?
Both, actually, Merlin shrugged slightly.
I'm sure you've already realized, at least theoretically, how your ability to analyze intelligence is going to shift once we get you properly instructed in the use of your comm. I doubt you're fully prepared for it, though. I mean no offense when I say that, but frankly, I don't see how anyone who hasn't already experienced it could be fully prepared.
Somehow, I don't doubt that at all.
Narmon's tone was dry, and he shook his head.
I've been remembering all those neatly written summaries you and Owl have provided, and trying to visualize what it must have been like to actually watch the things you reported in such detail.
He shook his head again.
The one conclusion I've positively come to is that no matter how hard I try to imagine it, the reality's going to be even more impressive, shall we say.
I think that's probably a safe estimate. Still, I also think you'll get accustomed faster than you expect right now.
Merlin smiled. Then his expression sobered a bit.
But another thing you'll discover, unfortunately, is something called information overload.
It was his turn to shake his head.
That's how Charlian almost ended up assassinated, despite all of my snarks and parasites. There was simply too much data coming at me, even with Owl to help, for me to keep track of everything. And unlike you, Your Highness, I really can go without sleep virtually indefinitely when I need to.
I imagine that's true enough, Narmon said thoughtfully. For that matter, I've been thinking about how difficult it must be for Their Majesties simply to find the time and privacy to sit down and look at all the material you've been describing. It's not as if they can just sit around in the throne room, ignoring everyone else, while they listen to voices no one else can hear, now is it? Sooner or later, people would start to talk.
Believe me, it's even worse than you may have been thinking, Merlin rolled his eyes. I imagine it's going to be at least as bad with you, for that matter.
At least as bad,
Narmon repeated, arching both eyebrows.
You've got access to Al's computer files now, Your Highness, and I know where your older children got their taste for reading. I shudder to think what's going to happen when you find Al's history banks.
And God help us all when you get your hands on a copy of Machiavelli. Machiavelli?
Narmon repeated the bizarre-sounding name slowly, wrapping his tongue carefully around the odd syllables.
What a peculiar name.
He cocked his head.
Is that the name of the book or the author?
I'll let you find that out for yourself, Your Highness.
Merlin did shudder delicately. I probably shouldn't have mentioned it to you at all,
but I've told Al to help all system users figure out how to do data searches. And knowing you, you'd have turned up all sorts of references to it on your own soon enough.
You'll realize you're only making me even more curious, Narman pointed out.
Yes, I guess I am.
Merlin crossed to the window and stood looking out across the winter-dulled countryside beyond. I think part of it's finally having someone I can talk to about this at all, he said slowly. It's almost as if human history isn't really dead anymore. And I hadn't truly realized how much I missed it until I discovered other people I can actually dare to share it with. Narman's expression softened, and he laid one hand lightly on the Sajan's shoulder.
There's a proverb, he said quietly. I imagine they had something like it back on old Earth. It says, lonely is the head that wears a crown.
He shook his own head, looking out the window beside Merlin.
I realized years ago just how true that was, but it never occurred to me that there could be someone who was as lonely as you must have been when you woke up in that cave of yours.
Merlin turned his head, looking down at a cross at the pudgy little Emeraldian for a moment, then nodded slowly.
You know, Your Highness, he said in a deliberately lighter tone, I'm happier every day that we managed to settle that unpleasantness between Karis and Emerald without making anyone a foot or so shorter than he used to be.
Especially those of us who had so few inches to spare to begin with, Narman agreed wryly, looking up at the towering Sajan.
To be sure, Merlin smiled. Then he gave himself a shake.
But I suppose I ought to be getting back to the real reason I came to see you this morning, he said more briskly.